spell it out and I'll do a sound check while we're doing that. So if you want to just do it.
Okay.
You gotta check the spelling of your name.
No, it's because all my full name. Yeah.
Okay. We're recording.
So Andrea Gentilini Milan, Andraia Gentilini, GintilliniMilan, Milan.
Andrea Gentilini Milan.
Milan.
Okay, and is that your full name? Is that how you'd normally say your official name, or is it?
That's my official name.
You ready?
Yes.
Hi, Papa. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Andrea Gentilini Milan. She's the export manager for Wines of Brazil, a bit of a strange region, but how are you, Andrea?
I'm fine, and you?
Very good indeed. We're going to talk a wee bit about Brazilian wine region today and just find out a bit about it and how it works. But how long have you been with Wines of Brazil?
For the last 4 years.
4 years? Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. And you guys, we're actually recording this at the London International Wine Fair in Excel, just East London. But you've been coming here for quite a while as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been coming to the show?
This is the sixth time that you are coming. And it was the first trade fair you came when Wines from Brazil started, just at the beginning.
Yeah.
And we believe a lot in that market. UK is the main import country on the world, so... country just started, and you believe a lot on that.
And are you getting quite good traction here? I haven't seen your wines in the shops, but mm-hmm. I've tried them a few times. I like some of them a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tough market.
Yeah.
But we got so far 3 brands on the market. So Miolo, that is the main company. You can see on some of the shops they have a line called Alísios do Ceival, so you can find it. Somewhere at Waitrose, you can find also Rio Sol, that's from the northeast of Brazil. So it's still at the beginning, but in the near future, I hope that you can find a lot of Brazilian wines in the market.
Fantastic. Just let's get a big overview of Brazil. Obviously, you're South America.
Mm-hmm.
The country starts just below the equator, doesn't it?
The main wine region, it's very south of Brazil. It's more nearby Argentina and Uruguay. It's in between 32 and 29 parallel south. It's on the mountain region, so people can have an idea how is the climate there. Some people say that is the little Tuscany. And it makes sense because when the Italians went to Brazil, they went to the mountains, and it was the place when they came with the grapevines in Brazil as well.
Fantastic. And, well, let's talk about the wine regions. There's one big wine region, and you've got quite a lot of diversity around other wine regions. What are the key wine regions in Brazil?
The key wine region is called Serra Gaúcha. So Serra Gaúcha, it accounts for about 8,000 hectares. And it's a great wine region for the sparkling wines and some of the reds as Merlot and Cabernet Franc. So it's on the hills. It's about 600 meters altitude. Sometimes you can have snow, no beaches. So, but it's a very nice place, four seasons. So that's the main wine region that you have in Brazil.
Okay. You said they made sparkling wines. The Brazilian wines I really like, or the one that really got my attention, was strangely an Italian-style wine, like Moscato d'Asti. It was like a sparkling Moscato, low alcohol, sweet, nice grapey nose, just like a nice Moscato d'Asti. Is that produced in Serra Gaúcha?
Yes. Muscat is a great product from Brazil. It's fresh, fruity. And what it's great on Serra Gaúcha that you can find the well balance in between sugar and acidity. So I think that's why you have loved it. You can find this balance and this natural acidity on the sparklings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brazilians also love the Muscat. So when you go to Brazil, for sure, 90% of the time, the Brazilians are drinking Muscat. So the industry, they have improved a lot in this kind of product.
Okay. Is it grown anywhere else in Brazil?
Yes. So Muscat is one of the types but also the traditional sparkling made by Chardonnay, Pinot and Riesling Italic that is produced very well in Brazil is, I think,
Riesling.
Italic Riesling. It's, I can say that the three together, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Riesling Italic, it's made so famous, the Brazilian sparkling wine.
Italic, is that normal Riesling grape or what is Italic Riesling?
I'm not an enologist, but I can say that there is the Renano that's from Germany and this one that that's from Italy. So it's a type of Riesling that gives to the sparkling wine the freshness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look that up and see if it is the German Riesling or there's quite a few European wines got the nickname Riesling. So, okay. And there's quite a few other wee wine regions. A lot of them are clustered down towards the south near that Uruguay, Argentinian area. Mm-hmm. What are the other regions down there?
So, in the Rio Grande do Sul state, that is the accounts for almost every of the production in Brazil, we have Campanha, that is right on the border with Uruguay and Argentina. And that region is totally different because it's not so high in altitude. It's more flat. And it's very warm during the day and cold at night. So this this difference in temperature, you can get better maturations on the grapes. So you can find great tannins, great Cabernet Sauvignon, as the grapes can maturate much better than Serra Gaúcha.
Oh, okay.
So it's totally different style of wine.
Has it got altitude as well?
No. It's about 300 meters. It's more flat. It's the Pampa region. We call the Pampa region.
Pampa,
yeah.
What does that mean?
Pampa is like on the horse, on the...
Fields and meadows.
Fields, yeah.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
We have a lot of soybeans and this kind of cultivations on that area as well.
Oh, okay. And what other regions have you got down there? There's
so nearby Campanha, also we have Serra do Sudeste.
Just before that, the Campanha region, hasn't that changed to now being called the Frontera? Is that
When the World Trade Commission recognized some the regions from Brazil, they have recognized it as frontier. But frontier is, you know, Brazil has 8,000 kilometers of frontier. So if you just say that, doesn't say which part of the frontier. And in the last 3 or 4 years, they define it that it's called Campanha, and it's some cities, and that's why you have changed the name.
Did they get upset because of Campania or something like that, one of the European regions?
I don't know exactly why, but okay. That's the way that they have used it for that.
I'll edit this, so don't worry. we'll make you look good, don't you worry. Because I have to make myself look good desperately. Okay, so what other wine regions you're saying?
I was saying about Serra do Sudeste, that is nearby Campanha. More or less is the same climate conditions. It's basaltic soil as well. It's great for the maturation of the grapes, especially for the reds. Mm-hmm. But also, we are getting great results with Pinot Noir, some whites as Pinot Grigio, Sauvignon Blanc. It will be really great on that area.
Okay. And then moving a bit further north, you've got the...
Moving for the north, and the next state you can find Santa Catarina. It's a wonderful state in Brazil, beautiful landscape and beautiful beaches, but one special region that we call Planalto Catarinense. And on Planalto Catarinense is the highlight. So here is altitude. Yep. It's 1,000 meters altitude. And the Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc also is great. And the Pinot Noir, but the Pinot Noir and Sauvignon Blanc from 1,000 meters altitude, it's totally different than Serra do Sudeste, that is 200, 300 meters. So
sure.
Brazil is a huge country. And you cannot expect the Brazil as a country just one wine.
No, for sure.
It's a country of the diversity, different styles of products. But even you can find different regions in different styles of production, different soils. When you taste a Brazilian wine, I think the best thing you can find that you can feel what's Brazilian wine is the Brazilian wine style is moderate in alcohol. Usually it's in between 12 or 13, 5 degrees. It's not so oaky. It's very well balanced in between sugar and acidity. So this kind of thing makes the Brazilian wine so different from the New World wines that you usually taste.
They're quite close to the equator. They're right, you know, we call out my company 30-50 because grapes grow between latitudes 30 and 50 degrees latitude, whereas you guys are really clustered right on the extremes of that high temperature boundary, aren't you? Mm. But you've got a bit of altitude. It seems like you've got a bit of altitude to help keep the temperature down a wee bit.
No, down the south is four seasons, is no irrigated, is natural conditions. So, but if you move to the northeast of Brazil near Ecuador, that is in between 8 and 9, you can find San Francisco Valley.
Yep.
So in that area, yes, it's very dry, and we can find 2 crops per year, and The vineyards, they just can make one production because they have the river called San Francisco, and they control the harvest with the pruning. So, yeah, so that's the way they are doing there. And it's amazing because if you look at 1 hectare of land, they divide it in 4 different spots, and they have one that is summer that they are harvesting. And on the side, you can see one. That is on winter time cycle. So I think this is the amazing thing. You can harvest all year long.
Oh, okay. So if you've got like a grid of 4 and you're just controlling what parts are flowering at a particular time. And how do they do that? Through pruning, you said?
Yes, through pruning and irrigation. Okay. So that's the way they are doing. And from... if you look on the Brazilian map from Petrolina down the from the down, there is 4,000 meters, 4,000 kilometers distance. So if you realize 4,000 kilometers,
yeah, it's
in between
distance.
Regions, is if you are based in Europe, is huge.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure. And what grapes do they grow up in San Francisco?
Shiraz, Cabernet Sauvignon. And on the white, the Muscats.
Yeah.
It's incredible. They have a great production, some Chenin Blanc and different varieties they are testing there.
What's Shiraz?
Shiraz.
What's Shiraz?
Shiraz. Yeah.
Shiraz. Sorry, yeah. Pronunciations. I didn't quite clock that. Okay. All right. So you got quite a range of styles all over Brazil. It's quite a new, in my view of the world, you know, I don't really think of Brazil. I only really noticed Brazil as a wine region a couple of years ago, and that might be a bit of my ignorance. But what's the history of winemaking in Brazil?
So it's quite new because even the Italians went to Brazil in 1875 until the end of 19th. I can say at the beginning of 2000, they was just focused in the domestic market. And more than that, they was preparing the wineries for the market. In the last 10 years, the Brazilian wine industry, they have made a revolution in terms of technology, in vineyards, and everything. And it's Italian families. It's totally family business. So I can say that the new generations, they send the young Italians to study in Mendoza and in France. And when they come back to Brazil, they start looking to the external market to export, to be more on the international market.
Sure. You say it's Italian, but I always think of Brazil as Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And I did an interview with a lady from Portugal ages ago, and she said, you know, Portuguese sent a lot of wine to Brazil, mm-hmm. Which surprised me because... ignorant. I always thought South America was Spanish speaking, but she corrected me that Brazil is Portuguese. So why don't you have a closer link to Portugal than maybe Italy. It seems a bit strange. Mm. And I've tasted some of your wines earlier, yesterday at the show, and you did seem to have a fair old amount of Portuguese grapes, you know, Tarriga Nacional, Tempranillo. So there was quite a bit of there. So what's the Portuguese connection like, and why do you not consider it a key connection?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is the interesting thing about Brazil. Brazil is a very open country. So the Portuguese settled, they were colonized by the Portuguese. But the Italians moved to Brazil as the immigrating after the war. And they got the Japanese, they got the a lot of countries. You have a lot of immigrations in Brazil. So it was the Italians that came with the vineyards, with the vines. But at the end of, I think it was around the 18th, the French paradox moved, changed a lot of things on the world, and even in Brazil. So if you look at the grape...
You mean the French paradox where they live long and drink lots of red wine?
Yes.
Okay, so, and the tannic grape is quite a big one.
Yeah, so what happened in Brazil? Even if you look, it was the Portuguese, then the Italians arrived with the Italian grapes, but with the French, if you look at the grapes we have planted in Brazil, most of them are French.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's term of market as well. So the Brazilians also love Cabernet, as everybody loves, and sometimes the industry is also pushing for the grapes that the market is requesting.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it's more or less what it happened in Brazil.
Okay. There's a burgeoning, I call it an AOC, indication of origin, coming through Brazil. Do you want to just tell us a wee bit about what it is and what sort of controls it has and what regions are sort of bound by it?
Serra Gaúcha, as I was saying at the beginning, is the main wine region. And inside Serra Gaúcha, we have a sub-region called Vale dos Vinhedos. So Vale dos Vinhedos, it was the first geographical indication in Brazil. And it happened in 1996. And what is great at Vale dos Vinhedos? It's a small region, and they have realized that a part of the sparkling wine, some reds, and some of the wineries, they had a great potential for the grapes, for the wines, and also for the enotourism. So they have prepared themselves for receiving the international visitors. You say that it's a small Napa Valley in Brazil. small if you compare also in terms of visitors. We got about 150,000 visitors per year in that area. So most of the wineries as Miolo, as Casa Valduga, Lidio Carraro, they are based at Vale dos Vinhedos. And it was the first one that it was looking for the quality wines.
Okay. And but the other regions, such as the San Francisco Valley, they've applied for it as well, haven't they?
Yeah. It's quite new, the geographical indications in Brazil, and our worry that it takes time. And also, more than this, you need to discover what it's working better in each region. Campanha, for example, the vineyards, they are 5 years old. So how can I say now which kind of grapes can do well at Campanha? So it takes time, and you have to realize and discover what is the best. And they recognize the region as that kind of product and working on that.
Okay. What's your... we mentioned the UK as sort of a market you're trying to break into. How much wine is exported out of Brazil?
To UK, it's not so much. I can say that it's less than 10% of our exports nowadays.
Yep.
The biggest markets for Brazil is US and Germany so far. And
Germany?
Germany.
Do they like the sparkling Moscato?
No, not so much Muscats. They are importing more the traditional sparkling wine.
Okay.
And the reds as well. But what I can say that in the last years, we are just doing the homework. You need to find first the importers, build the distribution, and nobody start buying containers. they start buying pallets.
Yeah.
And they need to be established on the market. So if you just look on the numbers, it's not a little bit. It's not too much, sorry. But it's increasing year by year. And more than this, if you look at the same wineries, they are coming for the last 6 years to London International Wine Fair. They really want to make business with this country. So it takes time.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. All right, Andrew, I think we'll wrap it up there. Let me just check. I've got everything. I've done export cropping, grapes, regions, yourself. Okay, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there, Andrew. Have I missed anything? Or?
I think it's...
Okay.
I don't know if I forgot something.
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.